from the rising of the sun to the ending of the day. One name alone be praised. Every nation, tribe, and tongue, all creation lifting up.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming and joining us, being here for this time of worship. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers in the room. It is a good day for you all to get to celebrate, and we're glad that you're here to be part of our celebration. If this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. You should find a Connect card in the pew rack right in front of us. We hope you'll take that and fill it out. Let us know that you have been here so we can give you a proper welcome. If you're joining us via live stream, you'll see an address on the screen. We hope you'll go to that and give us the same information. If you have personal issues that you need us to know, either write them on that same card or write us at that address. And I promise that our prayer teams will pray for you and our staff will pray for you. But we are glad to have you in worship today, and we hope that whether you are joining us via live stream or here, that you are going to be blessed by the experience that you have, and that we will all be uplifted by the power of the Holy Spirit as we gather here. This is a day that the Lord has made as a gift to us. And so let's rejoice and be glad as we join the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the love that you bring us. I thank you for the hope that you offer us. I thank you for the grace that comes to us in more ways than one. I thank you for the mothers that have given us life and for the joy that we can experience and the opportunity to say thank you to everyone who has made such a difference in the way that we live on this earth. Thank you for blessing us today, O Lord. Now let those blessings come to life in us as we try to offer our best to you and remind us that you have promised that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you will be also. And so thank you, Lord, for being with us here today and help us to bring joy to your heart. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Our children can come forward for the children's time.
Come on, boys and girls. Here we go. Felicity. How old do you think she is, Callie? Doesn't matter? No, it doesn't matter. Children of all ages. There we go. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? I'm glad Felicity's with us. You know, she used to be a kid. She's a college student now, but she's graduating. Isn't that exciting? You guys, yeah, she used to be a kid. You used to be a kid too? You are a kid, yeah. So what's special about today other than the fact that it's Sunday? That's always special.
Callie.
Mother's Day. Have you told your mother happy Mother's Day today? You make sure you have, yeah, yeah. Did you, yes, you too. Did you give her a hug? Yes. Right when she woke up? What, when you woke up? Mama was up first, right? And then, yeah. And did you give her a kiss? Did anybody say, Mom, I love you? Good. It's not too late. On the count of three, Mom, I love you. One, two, three. And Mama loves you too. She loved you first, by the way. Hey, whose mom carries a purse? Any moms carry a purse? Your mom carries a purse? Yeah, not sure if she carries a purse. Well, I borrowed a mom's purse today, and I even got permission to go through it. I've always wondered what's in a mom's purse. It's a mom. That's all you need to know, Felicity. The big kids always ask the most questions. Let's see what's in a mom's purse. Wow. Wow, we've got gum. Gum in a mom's purse. Never know when you're going to need gum. We've got wet wipes to stay clean. Do you think your mom has any wet wipes in her purse? You have them in the car. Maybe he's in her purse. Snacks. Does mom carry snacks in her purse?
No.
What happens when you get hungry? She gives you snacks from her purse. Of course, wallet. What, Andy?
I'm hungry until I get home.
You're hungry until you get home. And then who feeds you?
Me.
Me? He says me. You don't get any help from mom and dad when you eat? I mean, somebody cooks, right? Do you do all the cooking? Yeah. I think we're skipping some parts here. Oh, I mean, there might be a... Might be a reason to color. There might be a reason to color. You need something to do. And, oh, brush. Yeah, you got to look just right. And let's see. Oh, look what else I found. Coughing. Cough medicine. Cough drops. Got those. You need some. There are crayons in here. I'm not going to go that deep. And then there's a mirror. You gotta check. Look here. I like this. A Bible? Now, your mom might not carry a Bible in her purse, but I bet your mom has a Bible, right?
We have a Bible, but
she definitely does not carry it in her purse. It's too big, and she'd need a really big purse, yeah. So this is a little Bible. Oh, and there's more snacks. Golly, a lot of snacks if we get hungry. There's some medicine in there. There's a little bit of cash in there, but we're not going to count that. Because there's a little bit of cash right there. He had to see to believe. Boys and girls, what's that all about? Moms carry stuff that we need, don't they? Does your mom take care of you? Do you know something about your mom? She knows what you need even when you don't know you need it. Do you know that's true? She takes care. Moms are ready. Say it with me. Moms are ready for whatever. Moms are ready. Aren't we grateful for moms and for grandmothers and all the sweet ladies in our life that God has given us to show us love? And that's why we need to really be thankful for our moms and tell them, thank you for all the things you do for me. Andy, even the cooking at home that she does for you so you can eat, so you can sit down and eat. Boys and girls, do you know that Jesus even described himself one time as a mama? Jesus said to Jerusalem, he said, oh, I love you so much, I feel like a mother hen who just wants to gather all her little chicks under her wings. Jesus even had love like a mother. How about that? Right? Isn't that something? Boys and girls, you are loved. That's what I want you to know. God loved you first, and then God loved your mama, and your mama loves you. And the way that we say thank you is we love them, and we love others. How are you going to do that today? You going to carry a big purse with everything in it? Definitely not. Callie, how are you going to do it? Kisses whenever she wants, because that's what she wants every day. At least you know what mama wants. And that's important too. Boys and girls, I want you to remember that our moms are gifts from God and they're gifts of love. Let's love them back today, okay? Let's love God first. Let's pray together. God, help us to love you, to know that everything good is from you, and that just like our moms are ready to take care of our needs, even when we don't know what our needs are. God, you're always ready. You're always ready to show us how much you love us. Help these boys and girls to trust you, Jesus, to give you their hearts. Thank you for making us family, not just with our moms and dads, but with your church. Now teach them more about the beauty of being your family, and help them to give those moms lots of hugs and kisses. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, boys and girls. Thanks, Brian. Thank you, Felicity.
I have to confess, one of my favorite things about the children's time is watching the parents' faces when their children are talking up here. Claire was Shelby Lynn was a little far. She's up there going, here I am. We love your kids. We love your kids. And we love our Lord. Let's stand together and sing praise to him. Majesty.
Majesty. Worship with majesty. Majesty, kingdom authority.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. It's hard to believe, but just shy of 30 years ago, Darlene Check wrote Shout to the Lord. At the time, she was a mother with young children and was having a pretty rough time. She was having financial trouble, the family was having issues, and one day she said, I decided I had two choices. I could either pull out my hair or I could praise the Lord. And so she went into the room where she had her piano she had been given when she was 5 years old, and out of that scripture and her desperation came the song Shout to the Lord. Now it's interesting because when I think of Shout to the Lord, I think of in joy and in praise, and I don't think of desperation. And it's gotten me to thinking, think recently about how many songs of praise are truly written out of desperation when your heart is just crying out. Aren't you glad that you know the living hope, the risen Savior, and that you can shout to the Lord whether it's in desperation or in joy? And let me add, if you don't know that living hope, maybe today is the day you need to talk to somebody and truly meet him and start that relationship. But right now, what I want us to do together is shout to the Lord, whether it's out of desperation or praise or joy. But I want you to lift your voices as we sing together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning again, and happy Mother's Day again. And thank you to all the ladies in the house, whether mothers or not, who have loved people in the name of Christ. Thank you. We celebrated women in our lives in our life group this morning. College students were talking not just about their moms, but about their grandmothers and about Sunday school teachers and elementary teachers and all kinds of ladies who'd been the portrait of Christ in their lives, and that's what we're all called to be. Let's bow together and let's remember that we often recognize God as we're looking back, right? We might not know it at the time that we're in the presence of holy and almighty and that God who meets our every need. But we look back, and as Charlotte was mentioning, those times of darkness or desperation, and we realize there was God. There was God. Holy God, help us to remember. Help us to remember in this moment you. As we're still, may we experience you, the great I am. And may we remember not coincidences, but you, God, incidents where you were so present and taking care of our every need, believing in us whether we believed in you or not, aware of us whether or not we were aware of you. God, help us to remember. And help us to add that to the evidence we have of you, that you are real, you are alive. Be alive. Be alive in us. Oh, God, be alive in us. Please show us this morning what we need to put down, what we need to pick up, what we need to start and what we need to stop. And let it be personal, God. In this moment, let it be personal, not thinking about him or her or them, but you and me. Thank you for those who are watching via live stream. Thank you that although we're in different places geographically, God, we're here in the same place, moving in the same direction towards you, connected by your Spirit. Thank you that nothing can keep us away from you and nothing can keep us apart as your family. God, help us to be one, loving you, loving one another, and when we leave this place, God, help us to be known as those people of extraordinary love. Jesus, help us as we pray. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I was thinking when Charlotte was talking and talking about, I was up here one day and that we, when children's time was going on, and I was like her, I could see a couple of parents just kind of melting behind the pew as their children were talking, and I've been in those situations, so I know how that is. But this morning I had somebody come up and tell me that they really liked my sweater. They said it looked very bright. It reminded me that the last time I wore this sweater was back during the Advent season, and one of our children came up to me and said, Pastor Tommy, I like your sweater. I said, well, thank you. And they said, it doesn't look like you. I said, why? And they said, because it's so bright and happy. I asked that family to leave the church. They're still here. But anyway, you learn a lot when you listen to children. Today, I want us to learn a lot from the scriptures that we're looking at today. We're actually going to focus on Acts 4, 5 through 12, but I'm going to read a section out of Acts 3 first because it sets the stage for what we're actually focusing on, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God, and when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was held tightly to Peter and John. The next day, The council of all of the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power and in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The scripture that we're looking at today is, to me, one of the most important scriptures that you can find in the New Testament, primarily because this scripture shows you the power that jealousy can have when you have jealousy down in your heart, and it's also one of the best examples of the power of salvation that you can find anywhere in the Bible. Peter and John have just been arrested, and they're being interrogated by the Jewish council because they healed a crippled man on the steps of the temple. Now, what's interesting about this, and what we all need to remember, is that it wasn't illegal to heal a man on the steps of the temple. It wasn't against the Jewish law, and it wasn't against the Roman law. So, why were they being interrogated? Well, they were under arrest and being interrogated because they made the religious leaders look bad. And the religious leaders were angry about it. They were upset because they had been made to look bad in their own house. These men that were the religious leaders in the Jewish temple, they were jealous of what Peter and John had done. And so they brought Peter and John into the council, and they said to them, "By what power and in whose name have you done this?" They knew who they were. They knew in whose name they had done it, but they wanted them to say in whose name they had done it. Now, pay very careful attention to what they said here. And also pay very careful attention to what they didn't say. Pay attention to what they didn't ask. They didn't say a word about that crippled man. They didn't ask how he was doing. They didn't even talk to him. They didn't even talk about him. Why? Because nobody cared about that crippled man. They didn't care that he had been sick, and they didn't care that he'd been healed. They didn't care one way or the other about that crippled man, which is why Peter responded to their questions the way that he did. Peter was suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said, "Are we being questioned because we've done a good deed for a crippled man?" The very first thing that Peter did was he put the religious authorities on the defensive. He made them look at what they were doing. He made them think about what they were doing in that situation. He basically said, "Are you kidding me? This is why we're under arrest. Do you not care about this man at all?" But then Peter went on. He put the cards on the table for all of those people. He said, "Let me make this clear. This man was healed by the powerful name of Jesus of Nazareth, the man you crucified, but God raised from the dead. For salvation comes through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man had been healed, he was standing right among them, there was nothing that the council could say, so they commanded Peter and John to never speak or teach again in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We can't stop telling everything that we have seen and heard." The council kept threatening them, but they finally let them go. For there was nothing they could do to them without causing a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miracle, the healing of a man who had been lame for 40 years. This man had been going to the temple to collect alms, to collect money for 40 years, which means everybody there knew this man. They knew who he was. They knew who his family was. They knew what his name was. They knew that this man had been there needing help for 40 years, but they didn't care who he was. They didn't care about him. I truly believe this is one of the most important passages of Scripture in the New Testament because it reveals how cold and unfeeling people can become when jealousy becomes part of their story, and it reveals how evil people can become when their beliefs and their preconceived notions about life are challenged by something new, when they're challenged by something different. I was in the first grade when the Supreme Court ruled that teachers could no longer start the day by leading the kids in saying the Lord's Prayer. That was an issue all over the country when that happened, but it was a firestorm in the Deep South where I grew up. That was one of those things that had such an effect that I will never forget how people were reacting to it. You would have thought every atheist in America had spit in the church's communion wine when that occurred. I was in the first grade, and I still remember our pastor getting up and saying, "The Supreme Court has nailed Jesus to the cross once again." I was 6 years old, and I remember him saying that, and I just assumed it was true because the pastor had said it and everybody agreed with it. You need to understand, in the Deep South, nobody quit saying the Lord's Prayer. The refrain was, the Supreme Court's not going to tell us what to do, so our teachers kept leading us in the Lord's Prayer every morning. They did it for at least 3 more years, because the last time that I remember us saying that prayer was when I was in the 3rd grade. But what's interesting is I don't remember when we stopped saying it. And the reason that I don't remember it is because it didn't matter to us kids. It was a ritual that we did every morning, just like saying the pledge to the allegiance to the flag. And it had no effect on us at all. And it had no effect on the teachers at all either. How do I know that? Because the teachers who were up in arms over saying the Lord's Prayer were the very same teachers who were fighting tooth and nail to keep black children from coming to our schools. One of those teachers stood in the hallway right in front of all of us kids, and she said, "They're not going to make me teach those N-words in our school." And then she went straight into her classroom, and they said the Pledge of Allegiance. And then they said the Lord's Prayer that woman was leading them to say. Saying that prayer had no effect at all on anybody during that time. It was a ritual that we did. But when the Supreme Court challenged the way things had always been, when they challenged the preconceived notions of the majority became incensed by it. Pastor of the First Methodist Church preached a sermon the next week where he tried to kind of defend what the Supreme Court had done. He asked the church to think if they really wanted an atheist teacher to lead their children in the Lord's Prayer, if they wanted a Buddhist teacher to lead a prayer in the morning when they came to class. The next day, the Ku Klux Klan threatened to kill the man. And a few years later, when the schools finally did integrate, that teacher who had used the N-word in front of all of us kids, she resigned and quit teaching because she was prejudiced against the black children, and she was jealous because the black teachers in the black schools were finally going to get paid the same amount as the white teachers. And everybody knew that was wrong, and so this woman was going to have nothing to do with that. And if they were going to treat her that way, she was going to leave. That woman loved the Lord's Prayer. She just didn't love the people that the Lord loved. The Lord's Prayer and racial integration, those two events set off a storm of rage among Southern Christians in the 1960s. A monkey on a rock could see that reciting the Lord's Prayer as a ritual in school didn't have any power over the people at all. There was nothing wrong with it, but it didn't make any difference either. If it had, the teachers who were leading that prayer would not have been propagating hate, and they would not have been propagating bigotry to the children. And a monkey on a rock can see that the only difference between black people and white people are the color of their skin. But now somebody was challenging the way things had always been, and those challenges turned those people who were supposed to be Bible-believing Christians into propagators of hatred. Those men on the council of the temple in Jerusalem would have stoned Peter and John to death in the name of God that day if it had not been for the fact that that man who had been crippled for 40 years was standing right in front of them, and they couldn't get by with killing Peter and John without causing a riot among the people who were giving thanks for what had happened. They couldn't deny that Peter and John had done something miraculous. They had done something that they themselves couldn't have done, but that didn't matter to them. That man didn't matter to them. They resented that that man had been healed. They resented that he was there. They would have preferred that he be crippled on the steps of the temple for the rest of his life rather than even entertain the notion that Jesus might actually be the Savior of the world. Nobody likes having to admit when they're wrong. Nobody. Not even me. I really don't like having to admit when I'm wrong. And nobody needed to say amen to that. Who was that? The Jewish leaders were not going to admit that they were wrong, even if they could see the miracle of salvation standing right there, right in front of them. And that's what that crippled man was. He was the miracle of salvation in bodily form. Friends, we all need to notice something here because this is very important. Good people can do and say terrible things when ignorance and jealousy are filling the space in our souls that Jesus Christ is supposed to fill. When jealousy and ignorance are filling the space that Jesus is supposed to occupy, we become less than we need to be. Good people can do things in the name of religion that they think are right when ignorance and jealousy and the love of the law take the place of the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. And that's the bottom line of this message today. Jesus saves. He saves us from sin. He saves us from our sin. He saves us from the sin of other people. He saves us from stupidity. He saves us from judgmentalism. He saves us from ignorance. He saves us from all of the things that can make our lives less than God wanted them to be. That's the message of Easter. That's the message of the resurrection. Jesus doesn't harm people. Jesus doesn't belittle people. Jesus doesn't elevate rules and regulations over people. Jesus saves. The love of God that's found through Jesus transforms the right in the rigid into the pliable. It transforms judgment into mercy. It transforms anger into kindness. It transforms prejudice and fear into family. It transforms the hell of brokenness into the heaven of healing. It transforms sin into salvation. Paul said, "Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Jesus saves. Peter said, "Let me make this clear. This man was healed by the powerful name of Jesus of Nazareth, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Salvation is the bone marrow of the Bible, and it is the bone marrow of the Christian faith. It's the power that brings all good things to life. Back when we lived in North Carolina, we had a physician who was a member of our church. One day he was talking to some middle school kids about salvation, and he was comparing salvation to bone marrow. He said, "Bone marrow is right at the center of your bones. You can't feel it, but it produces blood cells, and everything in your body that's alive is because of what that bone marrow produces." Then he said, salvation is the bone marrow of our soul. It brings our souls to life, and every good thing that we do for God and every good thing that we experience from God comes from our salvation. Salvation is the bone marrow of the faith. It doesn't matter how many scripture verses we have memorized, or how many of the Ten Commandments that we can recite, or how many times we've said the Lord's Prayer in our lifetime. True life comes from salvation, and salvation comes through Jesus. He is the bone marrow of our faith. He is the center of our lives. He is the one who changes everything for the better. I have an example of how that change can come about. Let's watch this.
My life as a child is very dysfunctional. I had my first taste of alcohol and my first sex with a girl at the age of 12. And my life then started escalating the wrong way. I was getting in different jails and different trouble. My dad would come in on weekends from construction jobs in the normal way of being drunk and very abusive to my mom. So I decided that I would just leave this country here and join the military and get away from my home. And I wound up in Southeast Asia in Vietnam. Out of our first 9 months there, we were attacked 138 times. And out of the 138 times, when we lost about half of our battalion. And that's when I got injured. Air backed out, came home, got discharged out of the Naval Hospital, married the prettiest woman in the world. We went to Texas and we started a life. I was a heavy equipment operator. Down the corner and I sat in the phone. Couldn't believe it. I went off the deep end for about 5 years. I tried to hold down a job, couldn't. I stayed drugged up, alcohol, in jail. And it got so bad in my drugs, mainlining and shooting up. Cocaine, heroin, whatever I could get my hands on. And my wife said, Ray, there's one of three places you're going to wind up to be. I said, where's that? She said, you're going to wind up either in prison, the insane asylum, or the grave, if you don't do something. But I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in June of 1975. Come on, go with me. I said, okay, where are we going? He said, come on, I'll show you. He's been showing me every day. I had made one trip to Africa. Fell in love with the country. Fell in love with the people. And the missionary I was working with, we became close friends. Man, looky here. Here's my wife. Here's me. We're up now, age for Social Security. And I put all the monies down we'd be getting, and he looked at it and he said, hey, you could live pretty decent. And I said, that's it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move to Africa. Come home and share it with my wife, and she gets excited. And then I noticed they're starting to take a different road in our health. And it was at that time when they diagnosed her with the Parkinson's is as bad as it was. She needed what they called a DBS, a deep brain stimulus surgery. So that put the halt on me in the African ministry. God knows what he's doing. I become the police and fire chaplain here at home. My position as chaplain in the fire department is very rewarding. Men turn to me for a lot of things, and I'm not even a firefighter. I'm too old. But I'm not too old to tell them about Jesus or to help them through their marital situation, to help them with their problem with their drinking. And some of them even still doing drugs. So the chaplaincy fits right in with me because of my past life. Has it been easy? Nope. Has it been fun? I'm home here taking care of my wife now. I love it. Stay-at-home husband. Learning to cook. Bought my own mop bucket. My own mop, vacuum cleaner. And I'm learning things every day. Wife's a beautiful lady. Wonderful wife. Wonderful mother. Wonderful grandmother. Wonderful great-grandmother. God, that I'm saved, I'm born again, that I'm in the center of His will. I wake up every morning looking at the ceiling and thanking God for this day. Now, Father, what would you have for me to do? That's all I say. Every day is a day spent with Him, is a day well worth spending.
He became a Christian in June of 1975. I became a Christian in May of 1973. I still remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember right where we were. I remember well the pastor who pursued me to try to lead me to faith. And what I found that day and ever since has changed me completely and made me a different person, changed the direction I was going with my life, and changed what I was going to do with my life. I never planned to be a pastor, and I've never been sorry that I did. Jesus Christ is salvation. He changes things, and He makes us into what He dreams of us being, and that will never be bad. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, You have come to us in this world. And You have promised us several things. Number one, if we follow You, it'll make somebody mad. Number two, if we do what You have us do, it will challenge the people around us, sometimes even those who are already in our churches. And number three, if we will follow You and try to become more like You, You will save us. You'll save us from ourselves. You'll save us from the sin of the world. You will save us for a life of purpose and for a life of meaning and a life of hope. And You will birth within us a feeling of compassion for the struggles and the hurts and the pains of the world around us. Help us, O Lord, to realize that Your grace is sufficient. And that if we live our lives for You, we will become a gift of thanksgiving for the good things in the world around us. Lord, I come to You today and I praise You. I praise You for Your love. I praise You for Your grace. I praise You for Your mercy. I praise You for every good thing that comes our way. But most of all, I praise You for the opportunity to meet You and to know You and to follow You. So come to us today, Lord Jesus, and give us the courage to say, Lord, I believe You are salvation. I believe You are what's missing in my life, and I'm asking You to come and live within me and make me the person You want me to be. Because if I become what You want me to be, I won't be sorry. I praise You today, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And You are the gift of life. Hear our prayer, Lord, for it's in Your name I offer it. Amen.
against a wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and you realize that life's not always fair. You can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. Everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. And when you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise his name. Praise his name. And when you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all
decided to give your life to Jesus today, we'll be here at the close of the service and we'll help you with the next steps in that. If you want to give your life to Jesus and you don't know how, come and we'll help you with that as well. If you want to join our church and be part of our mission, we would love to have you come and we'll help you with that today. When we go out the door, let's go into the world that is and let's try to show them what true salvation looks like. Let's try to show them what God's love looks like. Let's try to love people that are not as easy to love sometimes as we would like for them to be, and let's try to love the ones that would be really easy if we just try. And let's do all that we can to be the servants of the Lord this day and every day. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen.